Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, hello, everyone. You have reached the Locked On NFL podcast yet again. Belly up to the bar. Let's chat, man. There's not much to, not much fluff here. Let's just get into the game last night and do some picks for the weekend. Man, it was good stuff last night. I mean, I sent a very basic tweet, obviously, and it said, boy, I'm glad. Regular season football is tremendous, or something along those lines. It was so much better games than the preseason. And, of course, we know that's going to happen. But these were two high-quality teams that were familiar with each other, had just played each other in the scheme of things. Really wanted to win on a national stage, of course. Physical game, a lot of defense, went down to the wire. I mean, what more could you ask for? I mean, I thought it was a heck of a football game. I don't know if the better team won or not, and honestly, I really don't care. I mean, I enjoyed watching it. I thought we saw a lot from both teams to take away. I'm just going to kind of go chronologically through the game a little bit here. And, you know, Denver with their opening drive, they looked really good, moved the ball well, and then Booker comes out and fumbles. And it's like first carry ever in the NFL, and he fumbles. And for those who don't know, he was a fumbler in college. So we didn't see any more of Mr. Booker after that. Wonder what that situation's like. I know they're very high on him. I think he's a very good backup for C.J. Anderson, a good scheme fit. But can't be doing that. I mean, especially with the recipe Denver plays, that they cannot afford to turn the ball over. Although it wasn't their only turnover of the evening. Carolina took the ball over. Two big catches by Kelvin Benjamin, and he played well. I mean, he didn't play a ton of snaps. We kind of knew that. They had a pretty good rotation at receiver throughout the evening. Funchess played, Philly Brown played, Ginn played, and Benjamin wasn't out there all the time. But it seemed like when Cam needed one, that's who he was going to. And I still think Funchess might be the better player when it's all said and done. I like the way he moves better. But Benjamin did some good things, that's for sure, including catching that touchdown to make it 7-0. And I also thought early impressions, and this isn't shocking from, you know, considering that they haven't had a lot of wear and tear on them, but both Stewart and especially Anderson, I mean, Anderson's numbers really showed it, but I thought they both were moving really well, looked really quick, explosive. Both running backs looked really good shape. And then the next time Denver gets the ball, Sarlulele bats the ball, a screen pass into the air. Davis picks it off. I mean, I don't know that I blame Simeon all that much for that. Nice play by both players. But the Denver D stands up pretty well there, and that was huge. I mean, that to me, I was worried, like, boy, this game could get out of hand right away. You know, two huge turnovers, good offense at Carolina. If they get up 14-0, that's a lot to ask from Simeon. And to me, that was a huge point in the game that could have went south in a hurry for Denver. Their defense came up big there with a big stand, though. And then Janovich, the fullback, on the fullback belly on the next drive, scores, what was it, like a 20-some-yard touchdown? And he played well all game. I mean, he's an interesting player. Not like he's going to get a lot of carries, or it's probably going to be his only touchdown of the year. But they used a lot of two-back, you know, with a fullback, old-school, downhill blocker. I knew they really liked him coming out of college. And good to see him score. I mean, got some laughs on Twitter. And the old fullback belly play to make it 7-7, that was great. One thing I noticed about this point of the game, too, was, and it kept up the entire game, it did kind of bite him, was Carolina was using timeouts left and right. So that needs to be ironed out. Maybe it's just early season working on getting plays in and all those things, but they were using burning through timeouts like butter. That's a problem. Newton then took a nice capped off a nice drive with a touchdown run to make it 14-7. Then it went quickly to 17-7 at the half after a nice quick drive. Cam was made some scrambles. Olsen made a great sideline grab. And Carolina really looked like they were controlling the game at this point. I mean, they pretty much had the ball the entire second quarter. So that was promising. It looked like, man, and in a way, it's 17-7. If you're Denver, you're only down 10 at the half. Basically didn't have the ball the whole second quarter. Two turnovers. It could have been worse. And as we know with the final result, I mean, it was okay. You know, they end up winning the game, obviously. But so what else we got here? So I was thinking some at the halftime, I was looking as some of the stars of the first half. And most of these guys kept it up from that point on. I thought Cam, Kelvin Benjamin, the pass protection for Carolina, you know, Remmers in particular, for some reason, they still left him one-on-one with Von Miller a large portion of the first half, and for the most part, he was winning those battles. Of course, C.J. Anderson was fantastic in this game. Shane Ray looks like a possible star, too, you know, sitting there learning from Miller and Ware, former first-round pick. He's going to be really hard to keep off the field, and maybe that extends Ware's career or his freshness into the playoffs or something along those lines. But we really saw, you know, another note I was making at halftime is we really saw the Kubiak offense too last night. You know, remember last year it was, are we going to run Manning's offense? Are we going to run Kubiak's offense? And this time, it's Kubiak's team. This is what we're doing. You're going to be under center. We're going to see some fullback. You know, we're going to keep it pretty simple. We're going to run the football. Denver's offensive line played really well and is much better than the last time we saw him, that's for sure. And then when we opened the half, man, Denver's opening drive, Simeon underthrows a ball versus a blitz with guy in his face as he's getting hit. Ben Wickery picks it off. But one thing I noted on Twitter was the next drive, pretty much the same thing happened to Cam Newton, and he didn't complete it, but he had a guy bearing down on him. He couldn't set his feet, threw from an awkward angle, and he throws the ball 40 yards on a rope, you know, out of bounds, but it just showed how differently these two players throw the football. And, you know, Cam's a beast. I mean, Cam was the first pick in the draft. Simeon was a seventh rounder. But it just showed you in similar situations within 5 minutes of real time the difference between arm strength between these guys and when it can really matter. You know, I mean, Simeon just couldn't get the ball there and it got picked off. So at this point, they're within the 30-yard line they're within 30 yards of the end zone for the third time and had 0 points because of it. That's not right. I have my things all messed up. Scrap that. Anyways. And then, not too long after that, Ware sacks Cam Newton somewhere through the third quarter, about midway through the third quarter, blasts him. And at that point, I can't promise that Cam Newton was right after that. Cam took a beating in this game. And I'm going to go on a little tangent here. And, you know, I think the Panthers are fantastic in terms of their team building. You know, we have Kuechly and Davis, so we're not going to put as much stress on our corners because our linebackers carry so much ground. Because we have Cam Newton, we want big receivers with big catching radiuses. We want to be strong up the middle with our running game. We cut corners at tackle. I mean, they cut corners in the secondary and they cut corners at tackle. There's a wide variety of reasons why. I'm not getting into all that now. I think we've talked about it before. But when you do that, and I know Cam's Superman and all, your quarterback gets beat up, and this comes from the top. And I'm not saying they're doing it wrong, but this isn't going to go away. I mean, as Cam's star rises, he's going to take more and more hits from defenses. I'm not talking about cheap shots and bounties and things like that, but it's just the nature of their offense and how they design it, especially with poor tackle play and as much as he carries the ball and as much as the running game is devised around him. And plus, they know that, you know, if we take out Cam, We're in good shape. A lot of concussion talk last night, too, with him. I don't really want to comment either way on that. I don't know that answer. I'm not a doctor. But it didn't seem like they were going through the protocol or anything along those lines. But, okay. What else we got going here? Ware sack and then a really good Simeon drive to follow that up. Capped up by that Anderson catch and run. It was a 78-yard drive. Anderson scored on that one on a blitz beating play. I think Simeon may have audibled out to it, dumped it to Anderson over the blitzers. That was very well done. And then Harris makes a really nice play to interception again on a tip ball. A lot of tip balls in this game too. I'm not sure there's any reason why for that. I think that's just a fluky thing. And then a great battle down by the goal line there, you know, and finally C.J. Anderson gets in. I mean, it was a fourth down play, ends up making it 21-17, but that was a battle of big dogs down by the goal line there for several plays in a row. That was fun to watch. I mentioned that Denver's offensive line is much better. I thought Okun played well. I thought the center, Paradise, played really well. And you got to remember their offensive line last year, too. Boy, were they hit with injuries. So right now they're healthy and fresh, is like it's going to be the case with most teams. But it's a much better line, more equipped for the system. So I think the Okun pickup could pay off late. If you remember yesterday, you and I talked about, you know, how was the light air, the lack of oxygen, the fatigue factor going to influence this game? I don't know if it did or not, but I thought there was a stretch there late in the game where Denver was starting to take over, which is kind of like what I predicted, and the Carolina had to be gasping for air. I very much believe that. But then Carolina hits on a 4th-and-21. I mean, do you remember this play? This drives me crazy about the NFL sometimes, though. I mean, to me, there's no way this should be a first down. It's 4th-and-21. I think it was a legal hands to the face. It was a 5-yard penalty and a media. I mean, I know that's the rule. An automatic first down. Why is that an automatic first down? Just give them 5 yards. And there's a lot of penalties like that. That drives me bonkers. It was a hands to the face call. That makes me nuts that's a first down. But Carolina capitalized on it. Well, they didn't quite, as everyone knows how it all ended up, with a missed field goal by a very good kicker. Such is life. I mean, kickers miss kicks. And unfortunately, it's a big thing Ross Tucker talks about, and we used to talk about a lot. I mean, it's kind of one of the flaws in the game that you play so hard, and it comes down to, you know, this 150-pound guy comes strutting out there and has the fate of the world on his foot, and he misses one. He's a good kicker. I think Carolina is going to be fine. I think both teams played better than I thought. Shaq Thompson was another player that really stood out to me. He's going to be like Shane Ray. He's going to be a hard guy to keep off the field, even though the people ahead of him and around him are high, high quality players. There was a lot to take away. I thought this was a very good game. And another note here was neither team threw deep, you know, hardly at all. I mean, there was like no shot plays, no designed, you know, deep plays, and that doesn't surprise me at all from Denver, but it does surprise me from Carolina, although I'm sure in the back of their mind they're thinking, well, we got to block Von Miller if we go deep, and that's going to be a problem. So I guess that adds up, but very, very few deep shots in this game. Before we pick games, though, I want to tell you about yet another sponsor. Hey, we're getting sponsors left and right. If it's something that your company's interested in, get in touch with me. Maybe you just want to do it for this show. That would be fine as well. Or maybe you just want to do it for one of the specific Locked On shows, Locked On Patriots, Locked On Cardinals, whoever, Locked On Broncos, Locked On Cardinals, or Locked On Panthers. You know, if you want to get more in-depth from last night. But anyways, FanDuel, how great is that? I mean, that's a huge company. Really like what they do. I'm kind of new to the DFS world, but I'm actually once a week hosting a podcast for Dig Deep, you know, digging deep into some DFS plays, and it's really starting to catch me. I can understand why people like FanDuel so much. I mean, it's fantasy football for everyday fans. New contests start every week, and the kind of the best part about it is there's no busted seasons, is how they say it in the DFS world. So boy, I do my redraft with all my buds, like I said, and 3 of my guys get hurt week 1. I might as well take my money and flush it down the toilet. The season's over. You got nothing to trade to save you. You know, all your guys are done. So FanDuel, you've one bad week, you're right back on the horse. So I urge you to check out FanDuel. It is good stuff. You just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score real time. You can watch exactly, you don't know the guy you're playing or what exactly you're doing, but you can watch your team, you know, in real time. It's great. And new this year, there's some upgraded experiences, even more contest variety. Try beginner contests for new players only, and that's probably up my alley. Settle a score with a friend in a head-to-head contest. That'd be pretty cool. Hey, me and you, let's battle it out. Try a 50-50 contest where the top half wins cash, which is, you know, you only have to beat half the crew. Or play in these larger tournaments for even more excitement and sometimes huge payoffs. Play for a buck, you know, so there's choices for every budget. You can put, you know, just a small amount in your account and play for the rest of the year and maybe double your money, triple your money, who knows. Have all the fantasy, it really has all that fantasy has to offer. You know, you get to play against friends if you want. You get to play against people week to week. You don't have the heartbreak of a team going down the toilet. So try FanDuel now and get up to $50 in free entries. New users who deposit will get 5 free entries to NFL 50-50 beginner contest. Pretty cool. Valued up to $50. You'll get 1 free entry a week for 5 weeks. Value of free entries varies based on how much you deposit, which only makes sense. They're not going to give you $50 if you put 50 cents in. So go to FanDuel.com, click on the Join Now button, and use my promo code. Please, I would love you to do that. And my promo code is LONFL, as in Locked On NFL. Use my promo code LONFL. That's FanDuel.com, promo code LONFL, void where prohibited. Thanks so much. Check it out. Now, I am going to pick games in somewhat of a rapid-fire fashion. I am not going to pick the 2 Monday night games. That will be on Monday. You have to stop back, and obviously Monday we're going to recap games. I'm sure there'll be injuries, unfortunately. There's a lot of injuries early in the year. That's always a bummer. But let's start with the slate here. It's in front of me. Green Bay at Jacksonville. I'm going to take the Packers. Like I talked about with the fatigue thing, though, with Denver, I could see that influencing Green Bay quite a bit in this game. I mean, you think Fat Eddie's going to be dragging ass a little bit in this game? I think it's a very good possibility. It's supposed to be sweltering hot, humid, very difficult conditions in Jacksonville. I just think Green Bay's the superior team here. A note on Jacksonville, I need to see it a little bit before I believe it. And kind of like the Raiders, that when you bring all these new bodies, high-quality bodies, and I like how both teams have built themselves. There's no question about that. But how are they all going to gel early in the season? You know, it's not like they've been playing together, the offensive line. You know, it's continuity there. The whole defense is basically new. So I think Green Bay goes down, wins this game, but not handily. I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all if in typical Blake Bortles fashion, when they're down 14 in the fourth quarter, he throws for a lot of yards and a couple touchdowns and makes it interesting. That would not shock me at all. Buffalo at Baltimore. I kind of wish these two teams were playing somebody else so I could pick against them both. And I think when you mention these two teams, a lot of people out there say, boy, that's going to be a slugfest. You know, 2 good defenses, Rex Ryan, Rob Ryan, and Buffalo with, you know, how well they play D, and, you know, the Ravens are historically a great defense. I don't see that at all. You know, I don't see any answer for Sammy Watkins. I think Tyrod Taylor has a very nice day. I think LeSean McCoy has a very nice day. And then on the other side, I really like the Bills' corners, but where's the pass rush going to come from? So I could see points being scored in this one. I think the Ravens will throw plenty. I think I'm going to take the Bills, though, in a close game. Just because I like the Taylor, Watkins, McCoy trifecta, kind of. And I think that the 3 of them will control this game pretty well. It's a good mismatch in their favor. And I'm having a hard time finding where's the mismatch going to come when the Ravens have the ball. And really, how the skill position player is going to sort out. And I guess it's just kind of an unknown to me at this point of who are they going to rely on. The next game is Chicago at Houston. I'm sorry, Bears fans, but you're in for a beating in this one. I've said over and over that, you know, I love what the Bears are doing with their front 7. And maybe, you know, they're redeeming graces. I think their front 7 does have a advantage over the Houston offensive line that really worries me, but that's the only advantage I see at all in Chicago's favor. I think Houston's defense just dominates this game and shows that they're going to be one of the best defenses in the league, and the skill position players for the Texans are going to torture the Bears secondary. So I don't have a lot to add to that one. Cleveland and Philadelphia, you know, RG3 versus Wentz. I have to take the Eagles, even with a rookie quarterback making his first start. And I'm taking the Eagles based on the strength of their defense, which I think is not getting talked about enough. I don't know how they get Fletcher Cox blocked. You know, I think their safeties are very good. They're active at linebacker. I really like the Eagles' defensive line. And I know everyone's talking about the quarterbacks here, and that's fine. Don't get me wrong. But the Cleveland defense is just miserable. And the Eagles' offense doesn't have a lot, but it has more than the Browns' defense, that's for sure. And I'm a Wentz believer, but I'm excited to see what he does. Tampa at Atlanta. I actually think the Falcons are favored in this game. I haven't looked at the spreads, and I was wondering, should I make these picks versus spread or not? And I just kind of went in old Football Today fashion and just did doing the picks. But this might be an Adam and Eve. I'm pretty sure that Atlanta is favored. I think Tampa is the better team, probably the better quarterback. You know, the one thing that I like for Atlanta is I think Trufant will do a very good job of bottling up Evans when they butt heads, and that might be often, and that doesn't leave a lot more for the Bucs. But Martin, Sims, I trust Winston. I think the defense is improved, although Julio could go bonkers in this game. That secondary for the Bucs is not very good at all. Freeman could do well too. So I see a close game. I guess I can understand why Atlanta's favored at home. I guess they're saying if they're playing in Wichita, it's a pick 'em, give or take. But I like the Bucs. Vikings with quarterback unknown. My hunch is it's Bradford. You know, every year Bradford's career, except for one, he's had a new system. It's insane. I think he's been in the league 6 years and he's had five different offensive systems. You know how hard that is on a quarterback? And I know some of you guys think I'm a Bradford apologist. In some ways, I am. In some ways, I'm a defender of Bradford. But he's in yet another system. This is a numbered-based system. I think he can pick it up reasonably well. I can see a low-scoring, physical game, you know. But I just think Minnesota's still better, and Peterson should have a good outing. That Vikings defense, to me, pretty much rules the day in this one. Bengals at New York. And I think Cincinnati's the better team. But the more I've thought about this game, the more I like the Jets. And here's why. That, you know, the best thing that Cincinnati does on offense is they have a really good offensive line. They control the line of scrimmage. Well, I don't think they do that against, you know, Mo Wilkerson and Leonard Williams. And, you know, that front is every bit the equal of Cincinnati's very good offensive line. And then they have A.J. Green. Well, A.J. Green's going to live on Revis Island, but because there's no Eifert, because there's no second receiver that really scares you, I think Revis Island's also going to have a safety over the top of it. You know, so I think Darrell can be really aggressive with Green in the short to intermediate zones where, you know, if anything, the biggest advantage Green would have would be in a vertical game against Revis. He's much faster than he is at this point. But I think Revis is going to get a lot of help deep, and you can roll coverages that way. If they can dedicate Revis and a free safety to taking away Green, I don't know what that leaves the Bengals. And on the other side of the ball, I can't say I love it for the Jets, but they are at home, and that I just don't think it's a particularly good matchup for the Bengals. So I'm going to take the Jets in that one. That might be an underdog too. I don't know. Oakland at New Orleans. There should be a lot of points in this one, and I think that's obviously going to be a theme with the Saints. They bring Jari Evans back. I assume they'll insert him right away at guard. And I'm curious who's favored in this one. I should have looked at all the odds, I guess. You know, I could have done some more Adams and Eves and Cup of Mud. But anyways, I'm going to take the Saints a lot for the same reasons of the Jacksonville situation. You know, a lot of new bodies in Oakland. Going and playing in New Orleans in the Dome week one is no treat. I mean, that's a long road trip. It's going to be loud. Dealing with that offense, I think, is going to be a brutal for everybody. I really like the Saints' offense a lot this year. Of course, I don't like their defense, but is Derek Carr ready to win a shootout against Drew Brees in week one in New Orleans? It would shock me. It would shock me. I'm not saying it's not possible, but it would shock me. I think Delvin Bro will probably spend a lot of time on Amari Cooper. And they're both really good players, but that probably still favors Cooper a little. but it also really favors Wolford and Crabtree. I think those guys have really nice games. And I don't trust the Raiders' rushing attack all that much. San Diego, KC. I've been writing and saying a ton of good things about San Diego, and yeah, I am a believer, but this is a bad matchup for them, even without Jamaal Charles. Kansas City's going to run the football. They're going to run the football. Spencer Ware is going to rack up yards. No Bosa. I do think the Chargers' defense is improved. I'm a little worried about the Chiefs' defense. Just, you know, there's some injuries on that side of the ball. There's some age. There's some change. I don't think they shut down San Diego. I think Keenan Allen does well. Wouldn't shock me if Gordon has a decent game. Same with Rivers. In Kansas City opening day, though, that's a tough gig, man. I'm taking the Chiefs. They're the better team. This one, I'm sorry. We're not going to spend a lot of time on, but Miami at Seattle. Namakong Su in that defensive line is capable of wrecking the day for the Seahawks. That's really the only good thing I can say about Miami's chances. Going all the way to Seattle in the first game of the season. Lockett, Baldwin, I think those guys just eat up this secondary. I think Wilson has a monster game. And again, you know, they're implementing a new offense, a hurry-up offense with a lot of new parts and some youth there. Best of luck at Seattle pulling that off. You know, no huddle at Seattle. Or are they going to scrap that? Who knows? I just think this is a blowout. I think Seattle mops the floor with these guys. And I'm sort of a Miami believer. Detroit at Indy. This is the start all your fantasy players immediately. All of them you can get. This is going to be a barn burner. This is like a 45-38 type of game. Win for Detroit. And here's why. They're better than the Colts. I think the Colts' offense might be better. I don't know how they get Ziggy Ansah and Nada and those guys blocked. I think that they can have success throwing away from Slay. Whoever Slay's guarding, it might be Moncrief, might be Hilton. I think Dorsett and that other receiver do quite well. Maybe Dwayne Allen as well. I think Luck puts up numbers. I think this is a true shootout. But I'm a big believer now in the Lions' offense. And even more so, I am so not a believer in the Colts defense. I keep looking at the Colts saying, it wouldn't shock me if they're 5-11 this year. It just wouldn't. I mean, Ziggy Ansah might have 3 sacks in this game. Giants at Dallas. Tough one. Real tough one. If it was in New York, I would take the Giants for sure. I don't believe how poorly the Giants have played. What I mean by that is I'm not buying that they're a bad offense. They look like that every preseason since Ben's been there. I think Eli and Odell and all those guys will be fine, especially against a really poor Dallas defense. So I do like that part of it. I'm a Dak Prescott believer. I'm certainly not hating. But I think they'll do a good job against Dez with those long corners. I think that D-line will hold its own against the best offensive line in the league. I think Elliott has a nice game. I think Witten has a nice game. I'm going like 24-23 Giants. And if there's a game that's going to go to overtime this week, that's my pick. Yeah, I think this is going to be a very close game. Jimmy Garoppolo and his Patriots going to Arizona. As you guys know, I'm very high on both teams. I right now have the Patriots number one in my power ranks. However, Cardinals at home on Sunday night, that doesn't sound good. Especially with Gronk battling a hamstring injury, I'm sure he'll still be a force. You know, who matches up against who? Does Buchanan go on Gronk? Does Tyrann Mathieu go on Gronk? Did they put Peterson on Gronk and just ignore those outside receivers with lesser corners there? I don't know, but they have a lot of matchup possibilities. I think guys like Chandler Jones and Ndikwe and the Calais Campbell will get to Jimmy Garoppolo. He holds the ball too long. I really like the Patriots defense, though, and I think they will keep things close. I certainly don't see a blowout, but I just don't think this is a situation any team goes in. I mean, if it was Seattle or Green Bay or Carolina or any of these teams going to Arizona for Sunday Night Football, I would probably pick the Cardinals. So, we'll see. Good slate of games, though. Really good game last night. It's been really good chatting with you. Let's do it again on Monday.